Welcome to TKG's Healthcare Insights, where we explore healthcare's critical issues, challenges, and trends with a focus on achieving the quadruple aim of enhancing patient experience, improving population health, reducing costs, and improving the work life of healthcare providers and staff. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome. We're glad to have you listening today. I'm Warren Smedley with the Kinetics Group. There's been a ton of talk about transparent pricing as well as controlling the cost of drugs in the U.S. Seems to be a lot of finger pointing going on, and often it looks like the providers and the manufacturers are taking a lot of that heat. Our special guest today is Antonio Chacha, Chief Strategy Officer and co-founder of 3-Axis Advisors. I had the privilege of hearing Antonio speak at a recent Midwest Business Group on Health webinar, and his presentation was incredibly informative and eye-opening. I asked Antonio if he would please help us better understand the complexities of the drug distribution channel and how this system can really muddy the waters in our pursuit of more transparency in this segment of our healthcare system. Welcome, Antonio, and thank you for joining us on this discussion today.
Hey, great to be with you today.
Thanks so much. Antonio, I was really impressed with the work that your organization is doing in the area of uncovering some of the distortions in this whole drug distribution process and how the prices of drugs can sometimes be manipulated as they move through that distribution channel. The Biden administration and, of course, before that, the Trump administration have all stressed the need for us to get some level of control over the rising cost of prescription medications. Your presentation at the Midwest Business Group on Health was incredibly disturbing and really helpful. I've been in healthcare administration for nearly 40 years, and until recently, we hear next to nothing on how the distribution channel works and how drug pricing is impacted by this complex system. So perhaps we could start this interview by getting you to just give us a high-level overview of the major players in this drug distribution channel.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, I think, you know, when I started in this world, you know, I was from the pharmacy world. I had worked on the counter as a technician, and my father was a pharmacist. And so that's where my line of sight began. And outside of that, you know, as a dummy, I thought, okay, well, pharmacies just buy the drugs from the drug maker and that's it, right? And found out it's a lot more than that. You know, drug makers make the drugs, but they buy the drugs from raw ingredient producers. So you got raw ingredient producers who sell to manufacturers. Manufacturers make the medication. They then sell to wholesalers. Wholesalers then sell to pharmacies. Oh, but wait, there are group purchasing organizations that live between the pharmacies and the wholesalers. And then you have the pharmacies who ultimately get paid mostly by insurance companies and pharmacy benefit managers. But everything I just said are the main pillars of the system. And let's not forget that anytime you talk about a main pillar, there are probably different intermediaries in between those pillars as well. But for simplicity's sake, we'll talk about those large ones: drug maker, wholesaler, pharmacy, PBM, insurance company.
Okay, and PBM stands for?
Pharmacy Benefit Manager.
Okay. Of course, ultimately, the drug needs to get to, the prescriptions need to get to the patient. So how does the drug actually get to a consumer?
Well, the consumer procures the medication from a pharmacy, but only once they get a permission slip from a physician or a nurse. So you have somebody that authorizes a prescription after ostensibly a diagnosis is made, and then a patient procures that medication from the pharmacy. The pharmacy originally obtained that medication from a wholesaler who obtained that product from a manufacturer.
Now, in that process, the insurance company is giving approval for the patient to have that medication. Is that right?
That's exactly right. You have an insurance company that, for better or worse, is developing a menu of items that they will cover, partially cover, or not cover at all. And that is what we typically call a formulary. And so in order for a patient to get coverage for a particular medication, it must be included in some way, shape, or form on that insurance company. And usually it's created by the PBM on behalf of the insurance company. You have to be on that formulary.
Okay. So you keep talking about the PBMs. I sort of know the background of the PBMs a little bit, but could you, for our listeners, describe who owns the big PBMs?
Yeah, so most people don't know what a PBM is, and arguably, you know, rightfully so. Back when I was working as a technician and a patient would give an insurance card, you know, it might say Anthem on the front or Aetna or Humana on the front, but when you flip it over, maybe in the back bottom right corner, you might see, you know, RX, and it'll say Express Scripts or Caremark. Well, these companies that most people have never heard of are actually Fortune 15 companies. So these are big, big entities that were hired to control the costs of medication and facilitate the processing of claims. These three large PBMs, CVS Caremark, OptumRx, and Express Scripts, have morphed over time from claims processors into much larger entities. For those of you that may not have heard them, you might know them by their parent companies or their downstream companies, who are the insurance companies, Cigna, Aetna, United Healthcare, or on the pharmacy end, CVS Pharmacies, Express Scripts Pharmacy, and Optum Pharmacies.
Okay, so the PBMs and the insurance companies are actually working together?
That is exactly correct. Pharmacy benefit managers were originally supposed to essentially be a claims processor, but over time evolved into kind of a manager of the pharmacy benefit, as their name indicates. And so you could argue that PBMs are just providing an external or outsourced form of insurance just for the drug benefit. And so while PBMs lived on their own as their own kind of standalone entity in the supply chain years ago, over time, PBMs have evolved and actually have become one and the same with insurance companies and pharmacies. So we're dealing with vertical integration where the entity who was hired to process the claim and hopefully control the cost of the claim now makes money off the risk management of the claim, and then downstream makes money off the dispensing of the claim.
This gets complicated. Mm-hmm. Now, in your presentation, you talked about how prices get set, different kinds of prices get set for the drugs. And of course, the insurance company is going to the large employers and contracting for insurance. And then the insurance company is relying on the pharmacy benefit manager to actually manage the process of the distribution of those drugs to the patients that need them. But you talked about how these prices get set. Can you talk about how a price gets set that ultimately, really, the employer ends up paying for if they're self-insured?
Well, here's a really important part, and this gets into some of the work that we do on behalf of plan sponsors, whether it's state Medicaid programs or employers. Anytime there's more than one price, there is no price, okay? And so all those the pillars I mentioned at the front end, the drug maker sells to the wholesaler, sells to the pharmacy, is reimbursed by the PBM, and they're paid by the insurance company. Every single one of those moments that I just said represents an opportunity for a markup and thus a different price from point A to point B. And so from a consumer's perspective, your exposure to price is going to be predicated on A, what the PBM says your copay will be, or some combination of what the pharmacy is charging you, which is derived from the list price of the medication set upstream with the manufacturer and the wholesaler. Now, from a plan sponsor's perspective, your exposure to cost is primarily going to be through the deal or lack of a deal that the PBM is brokering on your behalf.
Okay, so how does that deal typically get set? If you're the plan sponsor, the employer, how do you know that what you're getting from your PBM in terms of a contract price is appropriate?
So all plan sponsors have some degree of what we'll just say are pricing guarantees in their contracts. Less sophisticated payers that don't have really stringent contract terms with their PBM, it could be very simple and say, we're going to pay overall 84% off the average wholesale price of all the drugs that we ultimately cover through our benefit plan. For those of you that don't know average wholesale price, in the pharmacy world, we jokingly like to call it ain't what's paid. In the real world, we like to call it it's what's billed. So while AWP, and if you really want to dork out, you Google the old AWP litigation, but AWP is essentially the highest sticker price that you can derive for a prescription drug. And it has no representation of actual reality of the real price of the medication. However, most PBM contracts are anchored as some degree of discount off of the AWP or the basket of drugs and their list prices for everything that was covered. And so from a plan sponsor's perspective, what that means is that your pricing guarantees are based on some large discount off an artificially inflated number that has no actual correlation with the real price of a medication. And there you have the table set for a really nasty dinner.
Oh my. Now, in your presentation, you actually referred to those as fake prices.
That's exactly correct. If I was to show you the disconnect between AWP and the real price of medication over time, for those of you that don't study the drug channel, you would be shocked. I'll give you a little explanation. So generic drugs specifically, you know, what do we know about the drug supply chain? We have expensive brand medications. We grant manufacturers essentially a monopoly through a patent so that they can hopefully have the right enticement to bring new innovative products to market. We put up with that system and we grant that monopoly status on a temporary basis with an understanding that at some point, that brand name medication will be subject to competition through the generic drug marketplace. And so the idea is that you have new expensive therapies continuously coming to market. And the offset is that those old innovative therapies that were new 10, 20 years ago eventually become generic and the price plummets. That's how it's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. Well, if you were to look at the generic drug marketplace over time, the disconnect between the AWP or the sticker price of the medication relative to the real price, the one that's grinded down to the bone because of aggressive generic competition, there's a growing delta between those two lines. So an analysis that we did for the Ohio Department of Medicaid was looking at all the drugs that they paid for over a 5.5 year period. And if you were to compare the AWP of all of those medications over time, they increased to the tune of around 34%. However, if you looked at the real prices of the medication, the prices that pharmacies paid to acquire those medications, it deflated to the tune of 40%. So you have an alligator mouth that's opening up where the real price of generic drugs is becoming significantly disconnected over time from the sticker prices of those medications. If you're a plan sponsor and you're not keeping track of what a fair gap is over time and keeping up with a fair rate of discount, then what that means is that alligator is going to chomp you.
Oh, wow. Now, you call that the spread, right?
Well, we actually call that the helium. We actually refer to it as our helium index. We're actually working on a dashboard to quantify this huge gap between AWP and the real price of the medication. But that gap that I call the helium index, others might call an opportunity. And so the spread, which is the difference between what a PBM charges a plan sponsor or a health plan versus what they actually pay the pharmacy for a given claim, that is the spread. And so there's a lot of opportunities. What I always say, and this is not an old saying, with mystery comes margin. And so when the fake prices are so disconnected from the real ones, you provide a litany of opportunities for mystery and thus margin. And spread pricing, which is one way that a PBM can overinflate a claim, is just one tool in their toolbox for inflating the cost of medications to plan sponsors.
Okay. Now, if I heard you correctly, the insurance companies, the large insurance companies, and the PBMs are essentially working together. And the insurance companies have a fiduciary responsibility with their plan sponsors, the people that they're providing insurance for. Does that create a conflict of interest between what you just described as this fake price opportunity to be disconnected from the actual pricing and the fiduciary responsibility that the PBMs and ultimately the insurance companies have to support and protect the financial interests of their plan sponsors.
So while I am not an expert on fiduciary laws and obligations, I can say that generally there's probably not a black and white answer to this, but I'll give you the mixed one as concisely as possible. The large insurance companies that own their own PBMs and thus are benefiting from the arbitrage opportunities that that PBM creates, there's probably a good argument to be made that they could be going around or working against the fiduciary obligation of the plan sponsor if they know what the PBM is doing to overinflate the claim. Some smaller insurance companies who do not own their own PBMs or aren't large enough to matter necessarily in a consolidated PBM marketplace, I will tell you, are victims of this. As a small health plan, they're focused on managing that medical benefit. And the whole reason they hired the PBM in the first place was entrusting that they had the expertise and the right incentives to yield them a deal. I've talked to executives from mid-size health plans who just took it for granted that the PBM was there to act as their knight in shining armor. Not the case at all when they found out after the fact that, for example, a PBM might be adding a $6 plus charge per prescription in just spread pricing, or overcharging on specialty medications without necessarily acknowledging the fact that they were purposely inflating the claim since the medications were being dispensed at pharmacies owned by the PBM.
Very interesting. Now, you mentioned in your presentation the state of Ohio busted their Medicaid administrator for this type of scenario.
Yeah, so I didn't start out to become a drug pricing nerd. it was a matter of circumstance. You know, I previously worked for the Ohio Pharmacists Association. And for those of you that know trade associations, they represent the complaints department for their respective constituencies. And so providers, sometimes rightfully so, sometimes not so, are unhappy with the amount of money that they're paid by insurance companies and in the pharmacy and PBMs. Well, pharmacies in my home state of Ohio were bellyaching to me in 2016 because they saw a 60 to 80% cut in their gross margin in their Medicaid managed care business just essentially overnight. When I went back to state officials and I said, am I about to get fired for missing some, you know, big policy change? They said, nothing changed and we're spending more for prescription drugs than we ever have. Again, I wasn't very sophisticated on drug pricing at the time, but how could you cut pharmacy providers 60 to 80% gross margin and then on the other end of the transaction not be seeing some degree of savings? And so after our state officials chose not to take the issue head on, we started working with lawmakers and started pulling our own data off the CMS website showing what our state and other states across the country were being charged for medications on a drug-by-drug, quarter-by-quarter basis. And we compared that to the real prices of the medications that pharmacies were paying to acquire. And what we saw was another alligator mouth pop up. You know, essentially what the state was being charged was becoming increasingly disconnected from the real prices of medication. Since we knew that money wasn't going to the pharmacies, we knew that we had a middleman problem. And it was at that moment that regardless of what I knew or didn't know about the drug channel, I said to myself, because my background is actually journalism, I said to myself, how is it that everybody is complaining about prescription drug costs and nobody knows what's happening underneath the prices, at least the prices that they're being exposed to? So how can we accurately identify and root out problems with prescription drug spending when we don't know how the sausage is being made in the first place?
This has been hidden for a long time. I've been in the healthcare world for almost 40 years, and this has been incredibly well hidden from public view.
And purposely so. You know, look, if in the old days, look, I'm not going to sit here and say what's a fair rate to pay a PBM, because PBMs can perform a number of services, many of which provide value to the overall system. So it's not to say that PBMs don't have a role or that their functionality isn't important. I disagree with the outsourcing of the benefit away from everything else, essentially. Why have a PBM when your pharmacist as a provider should be integrated with the other members of the healthcare team? But that's a story for another day. I look at it and say, look, if PBMs have a role to play, which I believe they do, if their functionality is important, which I think they do, the question then is, should we give them a blank check so that they can essentially print money? Should we be able to, should we empower them to say whatever amount of money they want to make? Because that's what we see when they are left to their own devices. They do what they can to inflate the prices of medications and then take as much off the bottom of that as they possibly can, whether it be through rebating, specialty pharmacy distribution, spread pricing, administrative fees, you name it. If they can do it, they will do it. And we should expect them to do it because these are publicly traded companies. I don't mean for that to sound like an evil thing. It's just reality. And so we should not expect that when the wolf is guarding the hen house or the fox is guarding the hen house, that's how it goes, right? That they won't be helping themselves to a few hens along the way.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, and I agree with you that the system is set up in a way that this is an opportunity and you can see how that can play out. Okay. As is becoming common, the interview ran long, so we will press the pause button right here. In the next episode, we will come back for the second half of our discussion with Antonio Chacha to continue unpacking the complexities of the drug distribution channel and the sausage making, as Antonio describes it, of drug pricing. Special thanks to Antonio for sharing his time and expertise with us today. 3Axis Advisors is based in Columbus, Ohio. You can reach out to Antonio by emailing him at info@3axisadvisors.com or by visiting their website at 3axisadvisors.com. Well, this wraps up another week of TKG's Healthcare Insights. Thank you for joining us. We welcome your suggestions, ideas, and requests for podcast topics of interest. Please email us at oncology@thekineticsgroup.com and write Insights Podcast in the subject line. Thank you. Have a safe and healthy day. You have been listening to TKG's Healthcare Insights, a program produced by the TKG Oncology team of the Kinetics Group. TKG Oncology empowers life science companies to effectively engage with health system and payer customers by developing strategies and real-world solutions aimed at impacting the right patient at the right time with the right care. We also work directly with health systems and payers to address the critical issues of our time. We would love to hear from you. Reach out to us at tkgoncology.com. Thank you for joining us today.